I'm back in Budapest. It's a beautiful day. You've heard lots about the fair over the weekend at the farm, so I won't say any more. I don't have final figures. Once I do, I'll share them with you. I got here very, very late. I didn't get here till 1 o'clock in the morning. The reason for that was that we had great kirtan in the evening. Of course, all the devotees, they were celebrating the success of the fair, and we were just doing kirtan with Karnamrita Devi Dasi, who was there, and particularly she was singing this, sorry for that background noise, that some people cutting, trimming trees out there. Anyway, she was singing a really wonderful Brij Basi song that really got everyone going. It started with Dulamako, Dulamako, and the essence of the song, Dula, means dust, and Mako means smear the dust over your body. The essence of the song is that the dust that's touched the gopi's lotus feet, Krishna smears over his body with great joy. When that dust touches Ganga Devi's waters, then Ganga Devi dances in ecstasy. A sinner and offensive person who has gained the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis immediately becomes transported with a flower airplane, taken back to Goloka Vrindavan, and so many other wonderful things. So devotees were just going quite insane, chanting Dulamako, Dulamako, and the kirtan went on till around 10:30 at night, where I had to stop it because otherwise I would have never gotten back. I had to be here in Budapest and be fresh and ready to roll by 9 o'clock this morning, when I had my lessons from my Hungarian teacher. And I'll mention a few realizations that I had just about that, about the process of learning, how it's such a wonderful scientific process. It works for transcendental subject matter. It works for all types of subjects. I was very very respectful. Actually, I'd already met the teacher earlier. He's very nice. He's a younger man, at least 20 years younger than me. And he's a good teacher, and he knows how to teach. This is Berlitz School of Languages. And I was, I think, surprised. I'm very respectful. I bring him water, and I offered him tea, and I saw him out to his car, and had a very respectful attitude towards him, and I could see how that really sort of prompted him and encouraged him. He didn't have any problem with my being a Hare Krishna, but he was very encouraged. And although we're supposed to have 4 45-minute sessions, but he sort of got so much into teaching, and I was able to really absorb and follow what he was saying, so that sometimes we didn't really stop. We just went with one go. We just stopped at one point for a drink of water. But aside from that, we went nonstop for 3 hours. And a lot of the conversation ended up being his asking me about Krishna consciousness and how it works. And of course, that's how he's correcting me. And it's really very relevant, because that is what I'm trying to learn, how to speak nicely and express myself. And I wish that it's something that I would have done years ago when I first came, so that then I would have properly learned Hungarian. Rather, now I've sort of become self-taught and picked up things, but I've also developed some bad habits, and it's going to take a little while to forget these bad habits. But all this week I'll be having these lessons in the morning, and I plan to do the same another 3 more weeks before the end of the year, so that way I'll have a whole month of real extensive Hungarian education. And of course, that's our business. Anukulyena sankalpa. We should accept anything that's favorable for Krishna consciousness, for spreading Krishna consciousness. And even though this takes a lot of serious time out of my service and writing, 3 to 4 hours a day, but in the long run it will prove, I think, really invaluable, so that I'll be able to communicate what I really want to say, because for me it's a real problem in Hungarian that I can't always express everything that I want to say in the way that I want to say it, and sometimes I just even don't say some things that I think because I don't have the linguistic tools to be able to do the needful. But I'm hoping that I will be able to, and I'll be able to feel more comfortable myself in my preaching, and I won't have to deal with sometimes some sort of quizzical stares. People are trying to catch what is it exactly that I wanted to say. But for me it was very instructive just to see how the formula that Krishna gives, tadvidi pratipratena pratiprashnena sevaya, humble inquiry, submission, it works. It works on all levels. The nature of the teacher-disciple-student relationship is such that when the right attitude of learning is there, the teacher naturally becomes inclined to give. Not only does he just give, but he also really gives sort of his blessings, his well wishes, which makes the knowledge which one has received readily digestible. And this really for me is one of the main defects, of the countless defects that the whole Ritvik ideology has, is that you can't force Srila Prabhupada to become your guru. You can't force him to give you initiation. It's a reciprocal two-way relationship. Diksha and acceptance of actually being a initiating spiritual master comes on the basis of a relationship which respects the tradition of guru-disciple, which follows the proper process, which isn't imposed, dreamt up, imagined, and which takes into consideration that does this person actually want to give me initiation? It isn't, the answer isn't necessarily yes. I know that in my personal experience, not only myself, but other devotees who are in a position of initiating spiritual master, they don't automatically just accept everyone. There has to be a certain dynamic between guru and disciple, and it may be that also even disciples sometimes change their minds, because as they interact more closely with the person who they want to accept as Diksha Guru, they may find that the relationship, the personal characteristics are not what they had originally conceived of, and therefore they ask someone else to act in that position. So it's all voluntary. Anyway, let's drop the Ritvik thing and just go back to this principle of teaching. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, to Rupa Goswami, not only did he empower them with transcendental knowledge, and of course transcendental knowledge is Divyam Jnana Dhyatodaryat. That's the one of the two main aspects of Diksha. The other is the receiving of mantra. It isn't that one's just receiving knowledge, but also one receives the mantra. When Lord Chaitanya was in a position of Shiksha Guru to these Goswamis, he not only gave them the knowledge, but because of their humility, their Vaishnav qualities, he also blessed them in order for that knowledge to be fully realized within their hearts. And that's what a blessing is. That's what mercy is. The well-wishing of Vaishnavas gives that blessing, which helps one realize that which one has actually acquired from a superior source. You cannot breach that process. You cannot just mechanically, artificially capture knowledge from someone and force someone to become a guru. A good example of this is that of Karna. Karna wanted the weapons and the mantras which he would be able to defeat the Pandavas. But in order to get those, he had to disguise himself as a Brahmin, and he tried to cheat Parashuram. Parashuram was against the Kshatriyas, and therefore he wouldn't pass on his vast military learning to someone who was a Kshatriya. So when Karna came, he got all the information, he got everything, but Parashuram found out, and when he found out, he cursed him. He cursed him that, fine, you've got all these mantras, you've got all these weapons, but when you need them the most, you're going to forget your mantra. And when you need it the most, you're not going to be able to use your weapons. And so it was that on the battlefield, Karna lost the battle with Arjuna, which was the decisive battle, because he was an usurper, he was an upstart. He tried to enter into the parampara and to acquire knowledge without the blessings of the person who was actually give that knowledge. And whereas technically it may appear that it works, but ultimately, because one doesn't have the blessings of such a superior personality, the knowledge will not be realized, and it will not be effective, and it won't work. In fact, as in the case of Karna, it backfired on him. So whether transcendental knowledge, whether military science, whether learning language, we should always follow the process of Guru Parampara and the scientific method of submission, inquiry, and invoking the blessings of superior persons, so that the knowledge which they give naturally flows like water flows from a higher place to a lower. Hare Krishna.